Well, Kamala, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me here today. Hi, everybody. Hello to all of those who I know and who I recover with regularly. And hello to anybody who's new or anybody I'm meeting for the first time. This is my first time to this meeting. We are not a glum lot, mostly just because it doesn't usually sync up with my schedule. But thanks for asking me to speak today. My name is Marla, and I am a sex and love addict. I'm cross-addicted. I belong to CODA as well, Debtors Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a marijuana addict. But fortunately, I am living free today because I am using these spiritual tools every day of the week. So I'm recovered one day at a time. And yeah, I'm going to get into how I was, what happened, and how I am now. And then I'll be asking a question at the end. So since I was 7 years old, I was running a game, really, in retrospect, a sex and love game. I was always obsessed with romantic relationships. I was trading boyfriends on the playground by the time I was 9 years old. Not something I'm proud of, because it was insanity. And that just kept on going. By the time I was an adult, I got into a relationship when I was 17, and I was in a relationship until I was 38 last year when I found these rooms. And not the same relationship, but one partner after another. So I am a true sex and love addict. I never took a break from dating. I used people, men primarily, to give me my self-worth, to give me any form of validation, also to pay my rent, to pay my bills. And in terms of my own sexuality and my body, for me, that was just a currency. I had no concept of this being something that I could or would respect. It was just something to use to get what I want. And I thought I was clever too. I thought I was a clever, liberated woman. I'm the first woman in my family to be truly liberated. Little did I know, I was completely captive, in complete bondage to self, to addiction, and I was enslaved to these desires and these sick ideas that I had. I truly was spiritually sick. And I had a lot of logs. If you don't know what a log is, make sure you come to our workshop, which is on the last Sunday of the month. A log is essentially a strategy we use to try and stop doing what we're doing. Like, we try and stop the addiction. One of my biggest ones was sickness. I was diagnosed with stage 3 ovarian cancer 5 years ago, which I'm very excited I'm alive for 5 years now after that. But even through stage 3 ovarian cancer, that's a lot of chemotherapy. It was a total hysterectomy. It was menopause at age 35. And that didn't stop me from being a sex and love addict. I was still obsessed. And it was during the pandemic, so I became obsessed with people online who I was in connection with. Imagine, I was 104 pounds. I was bald. I was, in isolation because of the pandemic, and I truly was a sex and love addict. We had a handy man come over one day to fix something in the house, and he said, "I like your pants." And for 9 months, I obsessed on this compliment. The handyman thinks I have nice pants. Maybe we're going to get married. So then I stalked the handyman, and then I followed him on Instagram, and, insanity. Okay. So this went on and on. Swore I wouldn't date because I knew something was wrong, and then just kept dating. And then at the end of 2023, I had recovered from cancer. I was dating somebody, but I didn't even, unfortunately, really truly like the person. I really liked their status and what they could do for me. And I was, I was in therapy at the time, so I was like, had more self-awareness, and then I realized I had to end this relationship. I had never actually ended a relationship. I had only cheated on people or burned things to the ground. I had no communication skills whatsoever. So I was able to communicate that I wasn't able to be in the relationship anymore, and I ended things. And then a friend who was in the program said, "Maybe you want to check out the characteristics of a sex and love addict." And so I checked out those characteristics, and every single one hit for me. And I realized that I was an addict. This was no longer just a joke. And I had to do something about this. So I started researching. I got into some online meetings, and then I found Spiritual Gangsters. went to the workshop, met somebody who suffered just like me, but was no longer suffering. So I asked them to be my sponsor. I started working the steps. And as soon as I started doing that, the desire to smoke marijuana was removed from me. And I wasn't here to be relieved of that, because I thought, I'll give up everything, but I'm not going to give up weed because I'm not crazy. I haven't smoked weed in 500 days, and I don't have a desire for it. So the steps treat a lot of different things. I didn't work specific SLAA steps. I did read some of the literature, but mostly I just followed the big book. I trust God. I cleaned house. I had a major revelation at step 5 when I saw that every relationship I was in, I was incredibly dishonest, totally selfish. I was arrogant. I was abusive. I was kind of a maniac. So I was maniacal. I was vengeful. I was spiteful. And that, realizing that, actually relieved me of a lot of the resentments, because I saw how I set the ball rolling. I started all this trouble, all these wrongs that these men had done to me. I had started this. So, and then I became aware of God's will for me, column 5 in step 4, column 5. And I saw that I really did want to be these things, but that without my higher power, I couldn't be these things. If I had wanted to be these things, well, I would have just been them. So I had to ask my higher power for help. And, you know, the step 7 prayer is a really regular part of my life. And asking on a daily basis for these character defects to be removed works for me. I am gifted a position of neutrality. So I go to bars. I go to places where people smoke marijuana. I go to places where there are attractive people. And I have, generally speaking, this position of neutrality. If I start to go insane, which sometimes happens, and somebody like looks at me and I'm like, we're getting married. Then I realize, I go back to step 1, I'm powerless over the first look, the first thought, the first flirtation, the first idea. And I need a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And I give my life and my will over to that power. And I make the inventory. What am I doing here? Well, I'm looking to another person to be my higher power. That's what I do as a sex and love addict. So I become aware of what am I doing? I'm selfish. I want to find other selfish people. They don't want a relationship. All they want to do is like the other things. And then I think I can use those people. They're just like me. So that's selfish. And if I'm selfish, if I'm dishonest, if I'm fearful, if I'm resentful, I'm in self-will. That's my motives test. And I know it's not going to work out. I have to be loving to myself, loving to others. I have to be honest that I'm an addict and this isn't going to go away. I have to be unselfish and think of other people. Honest. Oh, and I have to be pure. I have to be pure. So I said Huppel because honest, pure, unselfish, loving. That's how we remember the God's will test. Huppel. Hope you take that with you and then use that when you're driving in your car. Am I being Huppel? So my question, or the quote that I'd like to refer to today is on page 116 in the chapter 2 Wives, meaning it's a chapter 2 Wives, but it could really be a chapter to people. It's to us. It's to addicts. So on page 116, it says, should it happen again, meaning should the relapse happen? Should it happen again, regard it in a different light. Maybe it will prove a blessing. And this is really important for me because I have a sex and love flare up. I play in a big street band and there's a lot of sexy people there. And I get very flared up there with everybody drinking and smoking and playing music. And summer is coming in Toronto and everybody loves to lose their mind. But I have to regard this in a different light. When I'm attracted to somebody, when I get a crazy idea, like I'm going to go over to their house for 20 minutes at 10:30 at night. That's the liar speaking. And I need to regard that in a different light. When the liar is showing up, it's actually an opportunity for me to do a workout, to work this spiritual muscle right now, to build my recovery. So I'm actually grateful to the people who are now my new qualifiers, especially because they're showing me that God, my higher power, is placing me in a position of neutrality. I haven't been acting out. I haven't been listening to the liar because I'm committed to working with others and staying in the program, and my higher power is responding with protection. So my question for you, thanks for the time. My question for you is, what right now do you need to regard in a different light? What do you need to regard in a different light? Thanks so much for listening today. And yeah, just happy to be here. Thanks.